I just want us to remind ourselves, friends, I don't want to go over old ground, but I think it's good to remind ourselves the ministry that we shared together a few weeks ago. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, we read these words: sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. We answered the question last time I shared this word: what is fallow ground? What is fallow ground? We saw that fallow ground is not wilderness. It is not wilderness ground. So it can't be referring to the state of the unsaved. It's not necessarily land that has returned to its wilderness condition through neglect. So it can't be referred to for the backslider. Fallow ground is ground that in the past has yielded fruit, but now that land has become unproductive. It's become unproductive through lack of cultivation. In other words, fallow ground is ground that is lying idle. It's doing nothing. It's going nowhere. We saw some of the characteristics of fallow ground. It's hard. And obviously we were referring to the condition of our own hearts at times. Fallow ground is hard. It is weed covered. And it's also unfruitful. And so oftentimes, friends, I've got to look at the condition of my heart, and I realise that my heart oftentimes gets into a state where there is fallow ground. And is there anybody else who can say amen to that?
Amen.
We're all at times guilty of getting our hearts into a condition where they become hard and unresponsive and weed covered, and also we are not bringing forth fruit. The challenge was to break up the fallow ground, to break up this hardness, to get rid of these weeds, and to begin again to bring forth fruit that will remain. The challenge is to break up. Notice, friends, the onus is upon God. The onus is upon us. The Word of God says we have got to break up the fallow ground. We cannot expect God to do for us what he has told us to do for ourselves. Neither can we expect us to do for ourselves what God has promised to do for us. We've got to understand. And there is a great onus in the scriptures upon us doing some things that will result in the blessing of God coming upon our lives. Fallow ground that is untilled and unplowed, it seems to suggest a state of complacency, a state of permanency, as though it had been like that for a long time, and there is no reason to suspect that it's going to be any different. There is no likelihood of change. Fallow ground. If you had a title on the fence going into fallow ground, maybe it's the title on the fence on the side of the gate going in would be this: nothing ever happens around here. It doesn't look as though anything's happened. It's just been left unproductive. Nothing ever happens around here. But let the plough go in. Let the plough begin to turn over that hard soil. Let those weeds begin to be rooted out. And suddenly, instead of an air of complacency, there comes upon that ground that had been fallow an air of expectancy. Amen? And if you wanted to look at the sign on the gate now, it would say something like this: something's going to happen. And we know what's going to happen. The seed is going to be sown in that ground that is broken up. Friends, there can be no revival unless the fallow ground is broken up. We can forget about it. Unless the fallow ground is broken up, there shall be no rain of righteousness upon us. And God expects me, and he expects you, brothers and sisters, to break up the fallow ground. I want to continue where I finished a fortnight ago and look at one aspect of a life that has been exposed to the plough of God. One aspect of a life that is beginning to see the fallow ground being broken up. I've entitled what I want to share this morning, The Expectancy That Is Born Out of a Prepared Heart. The expectancy that is born out of a prepared heart. Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ went, great crowds followed him. The Bible says that the multitudes, they thronged him. He couldn't be hid. Everybody was seeking the Nazarene. Everyone was seeking this prophet from Galilee. The Greeks came and they said to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They were prepared to travel to see the Master. The scribes and the Pharisees, on that day when he rode into Jerusalem, and they laid their palms before him and took off their coats, they said, "Look, the whole world is following him. The whole world is gone after him." Let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 4, verse 23. "Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease amongst the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." Mark chapter 3, verse 7. "Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. And he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready, because of the multitude, lest they should crush him." What a crowd! "For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" Friends, there was an air of expectancy wherever Jesus went. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What was it that drew these vast multitudes from all the cities in Israel and even beyond Israel? It was the tremendous expectancy that was all about the Lord Jesus. That wherever he was, things were going to happen. Amen?
Amen, yes.
That's why they came, friends. There was never a dull moment about Jesus. Wherever he was, things happened. John says this, "There are also many other things that Jesus did. If I were to write them down one by one," he said, "the whole world couldn't contain the books of the things that he did."
Hallelujah.
Friends, in the Gospels, all we've got is a small record of a mighty event that took place in 3.5 years. Don't think that this is the limit of Jesus' ministry. His ministry, friends, went far and abroad. John tells us that all the books in the world couldn't be written of the things that he did. No wonder they care. No wonder they gathered, friends. Before ascending to the Father's right hand, he left two relevant promises to his disciples. One of them, he promised his continued presence. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." That's reassuring, isn't it? God is with us. He also left them, friends, the promise of his continued power. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick, lay hands on the sick and heal them. They shall tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. They'll speak with new tongues." Glory to God. "They'll even raise the dead in my name." His continued presence I am with you always, and his continued power. These signs will follow them that believe. And as we get into the Acts of the Apostles, we have a record of the continued presence and power of the risen Christ working in those ordinary men and those ordinary women. Peter said, don't look at us as though by our own godliness we have brought this man who has been crippled for 38 years. Don't look at us. It is Jesus who's done it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Friends, it continued. The same mighty acts that were recorded in the Gospels, the same acts were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. After his ascension, the sick were healed. The dead were raised. The blind saw. The lame walked. Demons were cast out. Mark 16 verse 20 says, they went everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following the preaching of it. Hallelujah. The same mighty things, friends. The crowds gathered because things were being done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no harvest unless there's first a sowing. And friends, there can be no sowing unless the fallow ground is broken up. And unless the fallow ground is broken up, and this is where we're coming to this morning, there will be a continual state of complacency about our lives. Unless the fallow ground is broken up. Now I want to say something, friends, make a statement. And I'm going to repeat it twice because it's important. The level of how much we expect God to work amongst us individually and as a fellowship is an indicator of how much the fallow ground has been broken up. I'm going to say that again. The level of how much we expect God to work amongst us, both individually and as a fellowship, is a barometer, an indicator of how much the fallow ground has been broken up. You see, friends, fallow ground that has had the plough into it and has been broken up, we've already said it's got an air of expectancy about it. And as that ground is broken up, God expects us to sow seed into that ground. Don't be like me. I've broken up the fallow ground in my garden for 3 years running. I've turned it over, I've chopped it up into little bits, and I've never put anything in. So guess what happens? Nothing happens. The weeds come back. Hallelujah. No one goes and gets them all out. I know you don't. Praise God. We've got to sow seed into the ground, friends. We've got to sow the seeds of righteousness. We've got to sow the seed of a godly character.
Good seed.
Amen. Good seed. The seeds, friends, of the gospel. We've been going forth bearing precious seed. We've got to sow. We've got to begin to witness and share the love of Christ with others. We can't just break it up. It's more than prayer. It's more than seeking God. As we're doing that, seeds have got to be sown. The seeds of a righteous life. They've got to go along with breaking up the fallow ground. There's got to be the breaking up, and there's got to be the sowing. Sowing the seeds of righteousness. I'm thankful to God for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I'm glad, friends, that I'm a Pentecostal believer. Not in denomination, but in experience. Amen?
Amen.
I get the crips when people talk about Pentecostals being a denomination. We are not a denomination.
Right.
Friends, being Pentecostal is to have an experience of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when you go into hospital and they say, what denomination are you? Don't you dare write Pentecostal on your name tag. Because if I come to see you, I'll tell you off. We belong to a group of Pentecostal churches who are autonomous, and if we want to call ourselves belonging to any denomination, then it never started in a denomination, but we're really assemblies of God. We belong to the fellowship of assemblies of God. But I'm not Pentecostal because I come to the Pentecostal church. I'm Pentecostal because I'm full of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Friends, that's what makes the difference. I believe in the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and we can speak in other tongues. Amen? And that opens the gateway to all the other gifts. Hallelujah. Friends, and there are 9 of them, and God wants us to be exercised in all of the 9 gifts in the church. He wants us to desire earnestly. We had the prophecy this morning, the encouragement to go on to add to what we have got. I believe when God sees desire, he's well pleased. And I believe, friends, if we desired earnestly the best gift and we really sought God about them, God would begin to give us them. He will give severally as he will, but he's not going to use anybody who's got no desire. Desire earnestly. Let me ask you 2 questions, and we'll seek to answer them. Are we predictable Christians? And secondly, number 2, do we belong to a predictable church? Hallelujah. That shook you up, hasn't it? Are we predictable Christians? Are you a predictable Christian? Do we belong? Don't answer no yet. We're going to seek to answer them. Do we belong to a predictable church? There are 2 sides of the coin. Let's look at both of them. There is tremendous safety about being predictable. There is a sense of comfort in being predictable. There is a sense of control. You know what's going to happen. I'm going to come down there and tell you very often. Hallelujah. That's good. Get involved. Ooh, hallelujah. There is nothing worse, is there, than being in the company with somebody who's unpredictable. Let's be honest. There is a sense of you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you'll say the wrong thing. Whoops, the balloon will go. There is when you're in the presence, friends, of an unpredictable person, you never know what's going to happen. And so there can be an unpredictableness that leads to confusion and chaos. Whilst on the other hand, there can be an unpredictableness that leads us, friends, to a glorious excitement and fulfillment, for we know that God's in control here. We can be predictable, you know, we can be stable and dependable. That's what God wants. He wants us to be steadfast. But we can be predictable, and we can be still and void of any life. So there's 2 sides of the coin. Today, you could have gone into thousands of churches in our land, and you could have had a predictable service. I'm not only talking about churches outside of charismatic churches, I'm talking about them as well. A very predictable service. That if you've been there before, you would have had a good idea what to expect the next time you went. You would know what was going to take place and how the service was going to go. A few years ago, it was the hymn sandwich. I could tell you, when I was a little lad going to church, I could tell you exactly what was going to happen in that hour and a quarter. I could tell you when the fellow was going to get up and when he was going to sit down and when he was going to announce a hymn and when we were going to have the notices and when we were going to have a prayer and when we were going to have a singing item and when we were going to have the word, and when he would look at his watch and he would see folks shuffling and we'd know when the end was going to come. Very, very predictable service. Now we haven't got the hymn service. Amen? Hymn sandwich. We've got the chorus sandwich. Amen?
Yeah.
We've got the chorus sandwich. What? There's no difference, friends, is there really, sometimes? I don't want to sound conceited this morning, but I just want us to think, friends, that about why we are coming to the house of God. To be predictable is better than confusion. There's got to be a sense of order about our services. Of God is a God of order. He created order out of chaos. God is a God of order. We see that right through the scriptures, friends. There's nothing worse than being in a service where nobody knows what's going to happen. There's confusion. There's got to be a sense of order. You know, Pentecostal services sometimes can get very, very predictable. Our own included. You see, we just can't point a finger at the Church of England or the Roman Catholic or the other traditional churches. We can get into our traditions as much as they can. And we can become, friends, very, very predictable. The point I'm trying to get at is this. That there is a tremendous danger that we can get so used to the ordinary and the predictable. So used to that which we are comfortable with. For nobody desires new wine straight away, for he says the old is better. They're comfortable. We can get so comfortable, friends, it's easy to lose sight of the supernatural. It's easy, friends, to lose sight of that supernatural element in our gatherings together that tell us that God is here. Amen?
Amen.
That the Holy Ghost is present. I'm thankful for the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, interpretation and prophecy. The Bible says that they're the least gifts, but let's not despise them. It gives us some indication that God the Holy Ghost is speaking. And all the gifts of the Spirit, friends, are supernatural gifts. This morning we heard supernatural manifestations of God in the midst of his people. God speaking to us. Let me ask you another question. And let's answer it honestly. Because with great searchings of the heart we prepare and we come to the house of God. With what expectancy did we come to church this morning? You know, when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about the... We are the church. You know, I'm coming to this building this morning. With what expectancy did we come? I know that many of us expected somebody to be at the front and to lead the worship. Many of us expected to thank and bless the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
That's a good expectancy to have. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. We expected that we'd be singing some choruses. We expected to hear some giving vocal thanks in the church. Maybe we expected to hear some gifts of the Spirit being operated. Maybe we expected, well, we did, we expected to break bread together. And we certainly expected that someone would get up and minister the word of God. But for most of us, friends, that's where our expectancy stops. How many of us believe this morning that when we came to the house of God, we were going to see some outstanding miracles done in the name of Jesus? How many of us really expected that when we came this morning, people would get saved? How many of us really expected that when we came, we wouldn't be able to get in because the church would be so full? That when you pulled into the car park, you knew that the car park would be full and the church would be crammed to the doors. Be very, very difficult to get a seat. See, people can afford to come late. You're guaranteed a seat. How many of us, friends, really came this morning expecting God to break in amongst us in the supernatural? He has in the vocal gifts. But to a sense, up until this moment in this meeting, he has not broken amongst us in the supernatural. He is here. His presence is with us. How many of us, friends, came this morning prepared and ready for God to use us? We came expecting to be used in the gifts. There was that stirring of the Holy Ghost before we got here. that said to us, "Oh God, I'm available. I'm ready to be used in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I'm your servant, Lord. I desire earnestly this morning that I might be used of the gifts of the Spirit of God." How many of us expected to be used in a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge when we came to the house of God? Friends, we've got to get our expectancy way, way beyond what we're experiencing at this moment in time. There has got to become an expectancy of the Holy Ghost. Friends, I don't want to sound facetious, and I thank God for all that He's doing. I thank God for the blessing of God on this service this morning. I thank God for His ministry amongst us. But friends, I'm not satisfied with it. There is more in God. God wants to do more for us than we can ever even ask or think. We can be content with the predictable. Friends, it would be fair to say that in most churches, the level of expectancy when God's people come together is very low. And what's going to happen is as predictable as what's going to happen on Neighbours. You ever watch Neighbours? None of you spiritual lot will watch Neighbours. But three days down the line, you know what's going to happen on the fourth day. Or you can have a good guess. It's very, very predictable. Do you know why some people get meetings? One factor, it's not the only one. Sometimes people want to get here and can't get because of circumstances. But you know one of the factors that people skip the meetings? They'll never tell you this, but let me tell you. It's good to be honest, isn't it? They've got a good idea what's going to happen. And in the words of Paul Daniels, not a lot. And it's very, very easy for people to get into that state of mind and begin to put other things before the Lord. Other things become more exciting to them than God. Do you know, friends, the bed this morning has become more exciting to people than the house of God? Talking about people who belong to us. They're not here this morning. You know why? They've slept in. Isn't it exciting? Eh? Or the Sunday dinners become more exciting than being in the presence of God. Or the other things that they've got to do are more exciting than being in the house of the living God with God's people. And so it's very easy when they know what's going to happen, or they've got a good idea what's going to happen. Friends, when God the Holy Ghost begins to move in power and in might, let me tell you, we will not dare miss a meeting.
Hallelujah.
Amen. People will be making excuses to get in and might to get a stop away. I want to tell you, friends, you hear some beauties. Hallelujah. Not from you folk. You were faithful. You were here. Hallelujah. What you do, you hear some beauties. I want to tell you, friends, if you could sat where I sat, and if you could hear some of the things that I hear, I know I'll hear some tomorrow night. Amen. And they get better. Praise God, they get better. Friends, when God the Holy Ghost begins to move, we will not dare miss a meeting. And that's what happens in revival. And I believe those days are going to happen.
Amen.
Ooh, I was thrilled when Alan read that psalm this morning. Do you know what it said? Right. It said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living."
Hallelujah.
Ooh, hallelujah. Friends, there, let me tell you, God blesses you for faithfulness. And when nothing seems, there is things happening, but nothing on the scale that we want to see happening. I want to tell you, friends, the people that come faithfully to the God's house, that builds character into them. It builds obedience. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, you will be there right at the bedrock of it when it all bursts forth. Hallelujah. Others might come because of the excitement of it, but isn't it great to be in it at the beginning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Old Thomas missed it, didn't he? He couldn't wait. Other things were more important to him that day than being with the disciples. And Jesus came, and he wasn't there. And what about that 380 who couldn't wait? Jesus had commanded 500 to go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. But after 10 days, they were left with about 120. What happened to the 380? Oh, friends, I want to tell you, when not a lot's happening, it's a great sign of character building. It's a great sign of obedience when you get to the house of God. Friends, the low level of expectancy in our church gatherings is a direct result of the low level of expectancy in our own individual lives. Most of us live predictable lives. Talk about myself as an all. God talked about us being a supernatural people, didn't he? I and the people that you have given unto me are for signs and for wonders. Greater works than these shall you do. These signs shall follow them that believe. A supernatural life. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Don't the months go by? And friends, our walk with God becomes very ordinary. It becomes very stale at times, very dry, and very lifeless. If I was to say this week, how many of us have laid hands on the sick? How many of us this week have exercised gifts of knowledge and words of wisdom? How many of us have been supernaturally led by, like Philip was, to that eunuch? That we've been able to speak to people and see those people saved where we speak to them at. Not just in church. Friends, I'm talking to myself as well. We witness to people and we don't expect them to get saved. We have the cop out, come to church. We all of us are guilty at times of becoming very, very predictable. You see, friends, we all go our separate ways. Every one of us live our independent lives outside of this fellowship. And through the week we go, through that week, becoming very, very predictable. That which we're used to, that which we're comfortable with. And so what happens when we gather together? The level that we live outside, we bring in through the doors with us. And oft times that low level of expectancy of faith in our own individual lives, it comes into our services. So we have a blessed time and a great time because God is here. But there is still a low level of expectancy amongst us. I'm looking for more, friends. I tell you, I'm not satisfied with where we are at this moment in the fellowship. Thank God for the lovely movings of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, friends, folks can come in here and they can be sit and be comfortable in that. For year in and year out, we're not touching the world. We're not touching society. We are working, there are those who are labouring, but really we're not scratching the surface. And I'm not comfortable with that. I just can't sit back and say, isn't it lovely? Isn't it tremendous? Friends, what God is saying to us, I thank him for all he's doing. For God knows my heart. I thank him for his ministry amongst us. And his lovely presence. Because without that, we might as well go home, mightn't we?
Yeah.
But friends, what I know God is saying, there is more.
Amen.
There is more in God for every single one of us. You know, sometimes our meetings, we can tie God's hands. And you can say, well, God's sovereign. How can you tie God's hands? Jesus was brought up in a little town called Nazareth. About 200 inhabitants. And he went back there one day. And the Bible says he couldn't do any mighty work because of their unbelief. They'd got used to him. They'd got used to this carpenter Who is this carpenter? Joseph and his brothers are here with us, and his sisters. Who is this one? He could do there no mighty work because of unbelief. Sad, isn't it, to become too familiar with the Almighty? I'm sure, friends, every one of us here this morning believe that God wants to work amongst us. Amen? I believe, friends, God wants to work more than we can ever even imagine. More than we can ever know. But oft times his hands are tied. How does this level of expectancy rise? When we, living our lives every single day, on the tiptoe of, Lord, what are you going to do today? For some of us it was like that when we got saved, that right? Life was so exciting. The meetings were so exciting to get to. What is it, friends, that helps us to maintain this level of expectancy as we're growing on in God, as we pass from babyhood into maturity, as we grow in Christ? What is it that helps us to maintain this sense of expectancy in our lives, in individual lives, in our fellowship, so that we really begin to believe that God is able to do anything? We really begin, friends, to live our lives as though anything could happen. We begin to believe the things that we sing about. Anything, nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, nothing is too difficult for thee. We not only believe them, but we expect them to happen. Let me say, we can't wave a wand and say, now we believe. We can't even in this meeting this morning, friends, say, oh, we've been inspired to believe God for something great. Now we believe. Because all our belief can be is empty words, and at the end of it there's very little results. What is it then, friends, that helps us to live in this state of expectancy? We can't just conjure it up. We just can't switch a little knob on to say, now I'm expecting that when I come tonight, great things are going to happen in the house of God. I've come because of what the pastor said this morning. We can't flick a little switch on, because it'll be flicked off as quick as it's flicked on. Expectancy begins to rise when each of us meet with God out there. Expectancy begins to rise, friends, when we meet with God on a daily basis, when the fallow ground is broken up. Hallelujah. When we begin to know in our hearts, God, you're going to do something, and into that ground we begin to sow the seeds of the kingdom. We begin to sow righteousness and godliness, and we begin to display the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh, and we begin to go with the gospel, weeping as we go. Friends, something begins to happen as we break up that fallow ground, as we begin to sow the seeds. I believe we shall witness in our spirits a rising state of expectancy. I believe, friends, that we begin to see the cloud the size of a man's hand, and we'll know that God is going to do something. Hallelujah. Faith will begin to get stirred up within us, to know that God is about his work, that God is going to move and bless. The air that we breathe will be expectant. The atmosphere that we live in outside of the church building, it will be an atmosphere of expectancy. Friends, every one of us, as we begin to get to grips with God and to seek God with all of our hearts, I believe this expectancy is going to come. It's coming through the prayer meeting on a Friday night, let me tell you. It's coming as God's people are getting together. It's coming, friends, even into this meeting this morning. It's coming as God's people are breaking up the fallow ground in their daily walk with God outside of the church. It's coming. And then we begin, friends, to pray. Not in hope. Hope is down the road. But we begin to pray in faith. We begin to see those things that are not as though they were. We begin, friends, to believe that we shall have the things that we say and believe God for. The crowds gathered to Jesus. They gathered to the apostles because they saw the signs and the wonders. And I believe, friends, the only way we're going to see them moving in our towns, in our areas, is to see those supernatural signs and wonders again. Amen. Thank God for everyone that's saved. Thank God for all the hard work that goes into winning the one. Thank God for the gospel campaigns that throws the net out and brings the ones and the twos. But friends, when we're talking about revival, we're talking about communities being stirred. We're talking about all people knowing that Jesus is alive. And that's the difference. It's my prayer, friends, that in the coming weeks of our lives as individuals and as our life as a fellowship, that the level of expectancy will rise amongst us. That will be an indicator that the fallow ground is being broken up. And when that happens, friends, anything can happen. Amen? Anything can happen, because all things are possible. Let's go about the task sowing and breaking up. And when we've done what we can, let's be like that farmer that waits in expectancy for that which is going to burst through. He's sown the seed. He's broken the fallow ground up. Now he waits for the rain. He waits for God to do his work. There'll come a time in the life of our fellowship, and even individually, when we can do no more but believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Continually, friends, God will change us. God will prepare us. I believe God wants to send revival to shake our town, our area, and even the whole nation, don't you? I believe that with all my heart, friends. God's wanting to send revival. God wants to birth expectancy in our lives. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, bless God. Bless God. Wonder, friends, how expectant are we this morning? It's a challenge, really, that comes to us. How expectant are we? It'll come as we break up the fallow ground. Begun, it'll come as we begin to see God. Oh, friends, something will happen that's real. I want to tell you, friends, I don't want any strange fire. I don't want anything that's worked up. I don't want to create anything that's not of God. I want something of God. Something that will have the stamp of God upon it. Friends, there are so many things taking place in Christian circles that would seem good and yet haven't got the stamp of God upon them. I want to tell you, they will come to nothing unless he builds the house. We labour in vain that build it. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, this morning we pray for each of us that, Lord, your Lord love and your grace will so get hold of our lives that you will change us from being predictable, Lord, that is nothing but staleness, nothing, Lord, but lack of life. And you will turn us into those unpredictable people that have turned the world upside down. Lord, men and women of passion, men and women full of the Holy Ghost, men and women, Lord, who will go about their daily business and people will know that they've been with Jesus. Lord, in a way, there's nothing unpredictable about that. That's the way you want us to live. And so I pray in the name of Jesus that you will awaken all our hearts to seek you. Thank you for the areas that we are seeking you in. Thank you for what you're doing to this day. Oh God, oh God, stir our faith to believe you for greater things. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's stand, friends, and let's sing that lovely song. It's about healing in the nation. I wonder if somebody could find it. Lord, we long for you to move in power. There's a hunger deep within our hearts to see healing in our nation. Revive us. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.